You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Today, on the Word of Truth Revealed.
And he lets them know, because God says, I won't do anything in the earth unless I let my friends or my prophets know. If we're missing it, it means we're not close enough to God, because the friend of God will hear the sword before it strikes, or see it before it strikes. So God goes to Abram with two angels and say, I'm going down to Sodom to destroy it. And they begin, the two angels begin to move towards Sodom. If you read the text, it will say, but Abraham stayed with the Lord, or in the presence of the Lord. And he began to intercede.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Let's talk for a moment about the heart of an intercessor. In Ezekiel 22, I read it to you. Verse 30, God searches for a man to stand in the gap. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it'll be on the screen here in a moment, verses 1 through 4. Paul is talking to his son Timothy, his spiritual son Timothy, and he says, you therefore, my son, there's a relationship. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We like to say, be strong in the Lord, but he said to his son, I want you to be strong in the grace, or in that enabling ability that God, only God can give you to get the job done. Be strong in the grace. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, or the enabling ability that's in Christ Jesus to endure hardness as a good soldier. He goes on in verse 2 to say, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit those to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Why would Timothy need grace? Because he says, the things that you've heard from me, I need you to stand in the gap, because there's distance between the things that I said to you and the things that I've given you an assignment to do, the people that I sent you to, the church that I sent you to pastor. I gave you the word, but they haven't gotten the word yet. So I need you to hear from me, stand in the gap, and then teach what I taught you to others. Here we identify another gap. There are people in this room who know the word, but you won't teach it. There are people in this room and around the world who know God's grace and mercy. It's been extended to you, but you refuse to convey it to others in the same form. We're just self-absorbed, or we don't want to touch anybody, or we don't want to step on any toes. But we have a gap here between those who know it and those who haven't. And we have not taken up the timber or the responsibility to teach it to faithful men so they can do it as well. And teaching has nothing to do with what you said. You got to say it again and again until the people are able to perform it. Just like with children, you can't tell them to clean up their womb once and then pull out a paddle and beat them because they didn't obey you. You got to show them how to clean it. Then you got to investigate, and you got to go back and inspect to make sure they didn't put it under the bed, and keep doing that until they get it. Am I preaching to the right church? So we have a gap in parenting. You know what to do, but won't stand in the gap to convey it. Thank you, Jesus. And we have a lot of people that are willing to be the foliage of the church, but not the fruit thereof. We look like we're prosperous, but are we standing in the gap? The things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Here we see, if you take what I taught you, Timothy, and commit it to faithful men, they will begin to teach the same thing and the chain will never be broken. But we got a gap where people will hear a message on a Sunday but not even try to visit it on a Monday. Won't even try to teach it on a Monday. Or while I'm teaching, you're busy doing other things and not listen. Again, I'm preaching better than focus saying amen. How can you commit this, not your stuff, how can you commit the word to faithful men so they can also teach others if you're not faithful or standing in the gap yourself? This is very powerful passage as it relates to ministry intercession. Look at verse 3. You therefore must endure hardness as a good soldier. One of the things that God had to say to Timothy, I've given you an assignment to teach the message that you've learned to faithful men so they can also teach others, but you must not quit. There's too much life in you. And I need you to endure hardness. Hallelujah. Anybody standing in the gap is going to go through issues. But you must endure hardness as a good, what? Soldier of Jesus Christ. Notice he didn't just say a good soldier in the army. Up, 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 2, 3, 4. And if you've ever done that in the military, why is it hard for you to follow the cadence of God's word? If you've ever gone through college and you got a degree, why is it hard for you to go through the word? What in the world? You had to submit yourself to the teaching of somebody else. Why would you say it's such a struggle here when you did it for yourself and for your own knowledge and for a board on the wall or a plate on the wall or a certificate on the wall? And we all praise those who've graduated. But we've got to get to a point where we're enduring hardness for Jesus. God is looking for gap fillers. But the gap filler will always be tested. So he instructs Timothy in verse 3, you therefore must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say, notice, soldier, no man engaged in gap filling, in intercession, engaged in warfare. How many of you know we're on a battlefield? If you engage in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life. When you understand that you're standing in the gap, you must say, I'm not allowing certain things to get through my gate while I'm standing here. And you got to be able to hold your ground. One of the ways the enemy distracts us from our immediate responsibility is to get us drifting away, hallelujah, and entangled again with the affairs of this life. The Bible says anyone engaged in warfare, verse 4, entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. So I believe the Spirit is beckoning for us to lift up our right hand and solemnly swear that we defend the Constitution of the Lord. that we will stand. I had to go to Jacksonville and stand inside of a room, and they made us all stand at attention and lift up your right hand and swear that I would defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Hallelujah. And I had to swear to that before I went into the military. And God is saying, I'm enlisting you to be intercessors. And I need you to stop playing with this, because there's a sword coming to the land. There's danger out there. Even the earth is groaning, awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. And if we don't stand in the gap, sons won't manifest. If we don't stand in the gap, God's prosperity won't come to his house. If we won't stand in the gap, anxiety and confusion will flood our minds versus the peace of God that passes understanding. There is a demon, hallelujah, the prince of Persia, that didn't want us to get the things of God. And he's trying to choke out our prayers. But we need to be like Daniel. I'm going to stay right here for these 21 days. God set me up to pray. And I'm not going to stop until I get everything that God has for me. But more importantly, I'm not going to stop until they get what they've been fighting for. I'm not going to stop until everybody I'm praying for is able to come through the portal. What I love about Joshua is that for the first 7 years of his campaign, he kicked out the princes and the kings of Canaan. But after he finished bopping, he then shifted in his call, hallelujah, and administration to move from grabbing a sword and killing everybody. Then he set up a table and he made the tribes come before him, and he became the greatest administrator to make sure they were able to walk in what they were fighting for. And here's another gap. Many people have been in the church for a long time, but I don't see the manifestation yet. The Bible says if you seek first the kingdom, all these things shall be added unto you. Well, when I look at many people who've been serving God for years, I don't see the all things added yet. That means I need to stand in the gap until you are able to embrace and to manifest, hallelujah, everything that God has promised you. My work isn't done until you get your house. My work isn't done until you are set free. My work isn't done until you get married. My work isn't done until you're able to say, I got a portfolio. My work isn't done until you're able to buy that new car. My work isn't done until you get your mind right. My work isn't done until you're able to begin to think about yourself as God thinks about you and your children and your children's children. Are you listening now? I'm not done yet. Genesis chapter 18. One of the greatest intercessors ever mentioned in the Bible is Abraham. And in Genesis, write it down, chapter 18, verses 22 through 33. We see Abraham's intercession. Here the angel of the Lord came to Abraham. We believe the manifestation of Christ, pre-incarnate, also comes. Because Abraham called him Lord. And you'll never see anybody calling angels Lord. We believe as Melchizedek showed up, or the Prince of Salem shows up. Hallelujah. In Abraham's life, here we see God speaking to his friend pre-incarnate. And he lets him know, because God says, I won't do anything in the earth unless I let my friends or my prophets know. If we're missing it, it means we're not close enough to God, because the friend of God will hear the sword before it strikes, or see it before it strikes. So God goes to Abram with two angels and say, I'm going down to Sodom to destroy it. And they begin, the two angels begin to move towards Sodom. If you read the text, it will say, but Abraham stayed with the Lord, or in the presence of the Lord. And he began to intercede. And he said, Lord, I know that you're just. I have a nephew down there. He hadn't lived right. He wanted to separate from me. He didn't understand that he wasn't a man of covenant. Lot never had a covenant with God. It was Abraham that had the covenant. He thought that it was because of his power and his ingenuity that he was able to grow his flocks. But it was not so. God had no responsibility to bless Lot with anything. God spoke to Abraham to move south, and everything that moved with him was blessed. Yes. Lot got it twisted. Look at my flocks. Look what I've got. I got it all. And there's a lot of people, when God started blessing them, instead of them looking at the source or looking at how God did it, they start self-grandizing themselves. Look at me. I have been set free. I guess I set myself free. And I'm able to do all of these things. The wrong message, the wrong mindset. Lot was blessed because he was with a man of covenant. And there's a lot of people that's blessed because they hang around you and they don't even know why the blessings hit them. They don't even know that God selected you in the family tree and pulled you out of the fire and put favor on you. They didn't even know that God has blessed you in such a way that if they just work with you, even speak to you and hang around you, even if they're distant, God still allows the blessing to hit them because he blessed you. There are people who are blessed and they never deserve the blessing because they hang out with you. Can the church say amen? Amen? Lot got it twisted, and many people have it twisted today. They begin to sit around and think it's because of them that they are where they are. Lot was so confused with the smell of the Sodomite and the sound in the clubs in the Sodomite land that he was so absorbed with it, even though he prospered in it, he couldn't even see danger coming. But the intercessor got the message. And he said to God, he said, Lord, if you find 50 in the city, would you spare it? God spoke to Abraham and said, if I find 50 for your sake, because you asked me, I'll save the city. You read the text. The Bible says Abraham came the second time and said, Lord, I don't want to be pushy. But if you find 45 in the city, would you spare it? God said, because you asked me and you're the intercessor, if I find 45, I'll save it. Abraham said, wow. I don't know. God, listen, I know you're angry with Sodom and Gomorrah and my nephew. But if you find 30, would you save it? God says, because you asked me and you're the intercessor standing between heaven and earth or between my wrath and the city, if I find 30, I'll save the land. Look at the intercessor. He's persistent. He goes back again and said, God, I know you're slow to anger and you're full of mercy, but if you find 20, would you save the city? God said, listen, because you asked me and because you have my heart, I really don't want to kill them. I didn't want to kill Jonah nor Nineveh. I didn't want to kill the land. I didn't want to kill them all, but because there was no intercessor, I wiped them off the face of the earth. God, if you find 20, will you save the land? For 20, I'll save the land. Abraham comes back again. What if you find 10? If you find 10, God, would you save the land? God says, because of you, you have so much favor with me. If I find 10 in the city, I won't destroy it. And I'm telling you now, there's more than 10 in this room. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What's missing is intercession. What's missing is those who will come back to God and say, I'm not on my behalf. Abraham wasn't threatening death. But on behalf of those who don't even know the sword is coming, I'm going to intercede. I'm going to intercede. I'm going to move from 50 to 45 to 30 to 20 to 10 on behalf of those who never knew the sword was coming. God says, that's the kind of heart I want in intercession at Truth Revealed. I wasn't in the club. I didn't do it. I didn't commit the crime. I wasn't the one who disturbed the atmosphere. But even if I did, God, have mercy. I'm preaching in folk better than folk is saying amen. God is looking for intercessors. James chapter 5 and verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, not just for self. Here we see intercession written in the fabric of an effectual, fervent prayer life. Confess faults one to another, then pray one for another. That you may be healed. So when we intercede, we're praying for the healing of our brother and sister. He concludes by saying the effective, fervent prayer makes tremendous power available. It availeth much. It avails much. It's beneficial in many different areas. Write it down. We need to occupy empty spaces. We need to occupy what? Empty spaces. The Lord is showing me gaps. Major gaps. I showed you a gap to intercession between Abraham and Lot. I say you're standing between heaven and earth. When you're an intercessor, you're a gap filler of that space, that dimension between heaven and earth, or God's plan, and you and I receiving the benefit of following God's plan. Write it down. A gap is any place where God's truth and love, any place where God's truth, love, and righteousness, or even his presence is missing. I say again, a gap is any place where God's truth, his love, his righteousness, even his presence is missing. So we know on the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, they were all in one place and on one accord. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. It filled the house, every space of that house. And we know God is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. But there are places where his anointing is not present. His manifested presence. And a gap filler is able to detect when there's space where God is not present. Or where God's love, his truth, his righteousness, or even his presence or manifested presence is not felt, seen, or known. And what I'm sharing with you based on revelation is very powerful, because I say God is everywhere, but God is not manifested in every place. You could be in a church that has a church full of people and everybody can be singing, but it's just as cold as a Frigidaire. Then you can be in a place where people are tied up in there and everything is electrified. It means there's a manifested presence of God upon our worship. Anybody was here last week at 11 a.m.? Anybody? So 8 o'clock wasn't there? Okay. Well, if you will go back and view the message which Sharon Nelson preached, and then afterwards I would say, a release of the Holy Ghost, you will understand what I'm saying. An hour after service ends, people are still coming to get prayer because there's a manifested presence. There's a gap where God's truth, his love, his righteousness, even his manifested presence is not visible or seen. It's missing. Where someone needs to stand in that space and invite God's presence there. I'm being very simplistic because I believe this is powerful, and I'm about to close the message and I'll pick it back up dealing with gaps at 11. But it's very important for you to know the gap filler is able to detect places where God's presence is not there. His manifested program isn't there. A city doesn't have the presence of God resident. A family that doesn't have God's presence resident. Satan is more prevalent than God. Or confusion is more prevalent than Christ. And that's why we need gap fillers to occupy empty spaces. A gap is not merely a problem. It's an unoccupied space.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org.
Ready, set, save. Florida's back to school sales tax holiday has officially begun. From now until August 20th, you can shop smart and save big with tax-free deals on clothing, shoes, personal computers, and select accessories. TR North hosts prayer every second and fourth Friday at 6:30 p.m. Join us on August 14th and 28th for a powerful time of united prayer and connection. For more information, email trnorth@truthreveal.org. Awaken Women, mark your calendars because the 2026 Awaken Women's Conference is coming September 25th through 26th. This year's theme is Manifest. Get ready to unlock your faith, step into your purpose, and embrace your destiny through powerful worship and life-giving messages. Don't wait to secure your spot. Head over to the Truth Reveal app or register online today.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day. Mm-hmm.